Well, speaking of things that are unable to be improved upon because they are flawless and without fault, good morning. Got the biggest laugh from my wife and my daughter, and I'm sure my son down in children's ministries is laughing as well. So now it's really, really good to see you. As we kind of ramp into the first part of this series, I want to invite Kristen Beck to come up, and Kelsey's going to come up as well. So we have been on quite a journey with this family, and I'll let Kristen provide the context and background and let her share what she wants to share. And so they've got a big week coming up this week in the process, and so I wanted to just have them share this information with you and pray for them. Yeah, usually pause or stop does the trick. Or mute. Hey, mute it for one. There we go. That's one. Now pause, number two. Or pause, number one, mute, number two, whichever, what order. There we go. All right. I know. Wouldn't you love to push pause or mute in your own life at some point? So, all right. So, Kristen, go ahead. Introduce and share. And
so, I'm Kristen, and this is Kelsey. Most of you know us. Kelsey was fortunate enough to receive my kidney, donated that to her because she was in need of one. And we'd like to say just everything is going great right now. We're coming up on 6 months on February 1st, and usually about the three-month mark is when you're kind of out of the danger zone. But there's always, we know it could happen any day. But we're just so thankful right now that we are embarking on 6 months with a new kidney, and it's going well, and we're just blessed and thankful for that. And we've been able to sleep out in the living room and have sleepovers, which we couldn't do for almost 2 years. So everything's going well. And even though everything is going really well, the doctors have decided that this Wednesday we're going to have a small surgery to remove her remaining kidney. And so it should be done robotically, so hopefully not any large incisions in about a three-hour surgery. And then hopefully, as long as everything goes as planned, she should only be in the hospital about 2 or 3 days. So we just asked for prayers for that surgery. Right now, my husband's home with a pretty nasty chest cold, and so we're hoping that we both also, or she, not we both, I've already been through it, but that she stays healthy the next 2 or 3 days. So we can just get up to Riley, get in our room, and stay away from people.
All right, let me pray for them. Dear God, thank you for today and this time together and for the process of healing and recovery and rehabilitation and all of those things that this family has been through. Thank you for attentiveness of parents to know when something's not right and for the wisdom and knowledge and insight of medical professionals who are able to figure out what's not right and for the progress and innovation to be able to make things right again. And we thank you for you being behind the scenes in all of that to do an incredible work in this family and in the life of mom and dad and brother and this young lady here who is so incredibly special. So we pray this week that as they go through the process of removing the existing kidney, her previous kidney, that it will go smoothly, that it will go simply, and that it will go effectively, and that recovery will be minimal. And we look forward to celebrating the day when she can go back to school to be with her classmates and just enjoy all that life has to offer for her. Thank you for the privilege of walking with them and being a part of their lives. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so as this is now about the time that you start mentally making a shift to where you're going for lunch and how long, how much longer, and all of that, I want to encourage each and every one of you to stick around afterwards for the information session to provide an update on the structure review. It should take maybe about 20 minutes or so, and so we're looking forward to being able to share that information with you, so I would encourage you to stay for that. Also, I want to make you aware, do you see some new shirts and stuff like that around a little bit? We're still in the process of getting all those logistics worked out and everything, but you are going to have the opportunity to purchase your own shirt if you would like to purchase your own shirt. And so we're working out the details on the order form of, let's see, quantity, size, color, short sleeve, long sleeve, all of that. And so some of the details that have been going on over the last 10 to 14 days, some of us are kind of over. And so rather than to rush things to have an order form out this morning where you could all do that, we're just going to try to do that next week, okay? So good enough for me. Thank you. So now, if you want to complicate the process, you can start putting your shirt order in right now. You can take out your phone. You can email hello@hurricanecommunity.church and just barrage a bunch of information out there. Or you can take the handout and use the connection card on the bottom, and you can on the back write, I want these shirts and this size and this color, and good luck figuring out who I am. Okay? So yeah, you can do that, but that's all in the works and all in the process. So, okay, help me know this morning that I am not alone in an experience that I have more times than I wish I had, okay? So basically, you're in the midst of preparing for something, whatever it is, and in your mind, you create this expectation of what it's going to be, and it is going to be perfect. And then, as you get involved in it, something happens, and very quickly, your expectation of perfect unravels. And it's like when you get up in the morning and you put on your outfit and you pick your socks out in the dark, and then you get somewhere where there's light and you realize that you have black pants and blue socks. And your expectation of perfect just falls apart. This happens to me. Am I alone on that? Am I the only one that ever happened? Not the black pants, blue socks thing, but just the expectation unravel. This happens for me a lot around vacations. So you get ready to plan for vacation, and you've got it in your mind, and this is going to be the perfect vacation. Everybody's going to get along. Everybody's going to enjoy everything that we do. You know, we don't have to have everything planned out, and everybody's going to go with the flow, and it's going to be perfect. And then you get ready to go. And one of the members of your family isn't ready to go. Now, they've my daughter is sitting up here on the front row, and she's just leaning against her mom, and when I said one member of your family isn't ready to go, she goes, I didn't say names. I wasn't saying anything. That just cracked me up. So at least she knows, right? So they've had days, maybe even weeks, to get ready to go. And now it's time to go, and they're not ready. And so someone who is a parent who gets a little frustrated by waiting, Denise is really bad about that, I'm just saying, says, seriously, will you come on? There's no reason why you're not ready. To which the individual who's not ready turns around and says, I'm moving as fast as I can. What more do you expect from me? Now, she doesn't do that. I did actually make that part up for the point of the illustration. So, because she's down here going. So she doesn't do that. But that can happen, right? I'm moving as fast as I can. What more do you expect from me? To which you turn around and say, that's perfect. Start up with the attitude and smart mouth. That's really perfect right now. Right? So here's, and your expect, you haven't even made it out the door yet. And your expectation is completely unraveled. And you know from the get-go, this isn't going to be a perfect vacation. This is going to be a normal vacation. You haven't even made it to the first thing on your list of what everybody's going to enjoy and how everybody's going to get along. And so then you go out to load the car. You get the car all loaded. Everything's packed perfectly, by the way. And somebody comes out with one more bag. And you got to unpack the whole thing to repack it, right? So, and it all just kind of comes crashing down. And this doesn't just happen with vacations, right? This happens in a lot of areas of life. In fact, sometimes we feel like this happens in so many areas of life that this is just my life. And the expectation of perfect just leads to tension, stress, anxiety, and worry. Tell me I'm not alone. So, you want to know what the problem with perfect is? It's not possible. It is unrealistic. It is unattainable. And it is unachievable. And us placing those expectations on ourselves, on others, and our circumstances leads to unraveling things. So what if we could shift our mindsets to something that is attainable? If perfect is not attainable, what if there is something that we can achieve? What if it is possible to be a better spouse, to be a better husband, to be a better wife, to be a better worker, to be a better employee, to be a better boss, to be a better neighbor, to be a better friend? What if it was possible to just be better? And to abandon the pursuit of perfect, because if we are able to make this mind shift, we will discover very quickly, and this should come up on the screen for you, that better is better than perfect. Now, one of the things in the midst of striving for perfect, which is unrealistic and unattainable, that happens is we become overwhelmed sometimes with a sense of worry. And in what is commonly referred to as the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus gives us an antidote for worry. And it is not a far stretch from what Jesus says about worry to our expectation of perfect. Now, Jesus gives this antidote to worry, but not before asking those gathered around him that day a great question. And here's how his early follower Matthew records this great question that Jesus asked. Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? Jesus is talking to a group of people who worry about having enough. Anybody ever worried about having enough? And anybody ever created an image in their mind of what enough was based on their expectation of what ideal or perfect would be? Okay, I'm the only one who's ever experienced this stuff. You guys can all just go to lunch and I'll stand here and talk to myself. So it's not a huge leap from this worry over enough to the ideal of or expectation of perfect. And Jesus said, the answer to Jesus' question, can all your worries add a single moment to your life, is no. It can't. In fact, most studies show the exact opposite, that people who are immersed in worry are at greater risk for health issues and shorter lifespans. So when Jesus says, can all your worries add a single moment to your life, somebody in the crowd should have said no. In fact, it'll make your life shorter, because that's what statistics show. So Jesus goes on to tell the people gathered there not to worry. And everybody says, got it, and takes off. And we don't got it, right? Jesus tells them not to worry about having enough because of how much God cares for them. And here's a huge part of this mindset shift from perfect to better, is that what if better is possible because that's what God wants for you? What if what God wants for us is for things in life and things in us to just be better today than they were a year ago? What if it is possible, not because it's a people thing, but because it's a God thing? And so Jesus tells them, don't worry. God cares about you. And the phrase that he used there, do not worry, literally means take no thought. Jesus says, take no thought about these things. Now, who wouldn't love that? All the things that you worry about, all the things that you stress about, all the things that keep you up late at night or wake you up early in the morning. To take no thought about those things. Don't let those things embed in your mind in such a way where they begin to take rule over your mind and over your life. It is possible to be better. Take no thought. And then Jesus gives the antidote based on what we can give thought to, which begins to change everything. And here's what he says. He says, seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. The word for seek there, so Matthew would have written in the Greek language. And the Greek word that he used there for seek means to seek intensely again and again. Which means this is something that we have to intentionally and ongoingly do. It is a focus of our mind to continually bring ourselves back to one thing of focus that changes our pattern of worry. And Jesus says that the thing to put our focus on is the kingdom of God above everything else. This should be our number one priority. The kingdom of God, what God desires, what God wants for us, is should be the thing that we strive for most of all. Now, when Jesus talks about the kingdom of God in this capacity, it is about more than just life in the here and now. The kingdom of God, it would not be unfair or inaccurate to say that the kingdom of God that Jesus talks about here is a perfect place where all things are made perfect. Which leads to a little bit of tension. So, because what that means is that Jesus is then telling us to seek something that's perfect, when we just said perfect is impossible. Anybody else got a problem with that? So, is Jesus telling us to pursue the impossible? Yes and no. Yes, because the kingdom of God is perfect. And Jesus is saying, make what God can make perfect and what God will make perfect when God makes it perfect, everything that you focus on. Pursue that. There is a bigger picture than just the here and now, than just you, others, and your circumstances that should be in view. And when you put that in view, then it will change and allow you to pursue better, which is better than perfect, until God sets all things right and makes them as they should be. And so Jesus says, seek that above all else. And then he says to live righteously, which basically means in the here and now, do everything you can do to get it as right as you can possibly get it now, because that will make things better than they are. Now, he knows that none of us are ever going to get it perfect. None. Ever. But he also knows that there is a day when God will make all things right. And so he says, in the meantime, live righteously. Do your best to get it as right as you can possibly get it until that day when God makes everything perfect. And if you do that, then your life will be better, the life of those around you will be better, and you will be better at life. And who doesn't need that? And then he says, and he, meaning God, will give you everything you want. And he will give you everything you need. Which is incredibly important, because How many of our expectations of the way we expect things to be are built around what we want instead of what we need? And if we could reframe our mindset and reframe our expectations to focus on what it is that God has for us that we need, rather than what we expect from God that we want, how much less would our lives be impacted by worry? So, the interesting thing is that this shift in mindset requires a couple of things from us. Number one, it requires a commitment to want that mindset shift. But have you ever noticed how sometimes commitment isn't enough to get the job done? You can be 100% committed to something and still not achieve your goal. Have you ever noticed that? This shift in mindset requires consistency as well as commitment. Because here's the thing. Commitment will get you to the starting line. Consistency gets you to the finish line. Now, let's make a little bit of sense of this out of a question that might kind of be a step on your toes kind of question. But why not, right? How many of us have ever made the commitment to get healthier? And then how many of us have fallen just a little bit short in the area of execution of consistently eating healthier and exercising more? So you made a commitment, and it got you to the starting line, and then consistency kicked in and didn't get you to the finish line. So let me introduce us this morning to something that leader, author, pastor, business owner, a guy by the name of Jeff Henderson calls the consistency effect. Okay, the consistency effect says that small things consistently over time lead to big things. This is true positively and negatively. Negative small things done consistently over a long period of time lead to big negative things. Anybody ever experienced that? It's just true. This is also true from a positive perspective. Positive small things done consistently over time lead to big positive things. And so in pursuing better over perfect, we ask questions about what small things can we do consistently over time to lead to bigger positive effects in life. There is one of the local banks has a savings challenge that kind of illustrates this idea of small things over a long period of time leading to big results. It's called a 52-week savings challenge. And the idea behind the challenge is you take a certain dollar amount for every week of the year and you put it into a savings account. So what for the first week of the year, you put in a dollar. For the second week of the year, you put in $2. And then third week of the year, $3. And there's 52 weeks in the year. So on the 52nd week of the year, you put in $52. So because as I look at that savings challenge for me, that last month of the year where I'm putting in $49, $50, $51, and $52 is like a huge, how would I ever do that? I kind of tweaked this challenge for the sake of the illustration to do it daily. And if you take that dollar amount in the 52-week savings challenge and you just divided it into days, it is $3.75 a day. Okay? Now, if you think, wow, $3.75 a day, that seems like an awful lot. Let me give you one word to kind of buffer that seems like a lot, okay? Okay, ready? Starbucks. So I'm hiding so you don't throw anything at me. Okay, and here's the deal. I'm not against Starbucks. I don't like Starbucks. I don't drink coffee. I don't drink tea. The only thing I get at Starbucks is a hot chocolate. But I'm not against Starbucks. I'm not against coffee. I'm not against whatever it is that you spend $3.75 a day on. Okay? It's just an illustration to show you how small things over a long time can lead to big results. So $3.75 a day, if you took that amount and you put it into a savings account, at the end of 1 year, you would have $1,378. So when you go through the Starbucks drive-thru and you order your $3.75 drink, you are not making a $3.75 decision. You are making a $1,378 decision. I'm just saying. Now, if you were to take that same amount of money, $3.75 a day, and put it into an account that earns 6% interest, at the end of 25 years, you would have $125,000. So when you go through the drive-thru at Starbucks, you are now making a $125,000 decision. Small things done consistently over time can lead to big things. Now, my guess is that for all of us, there is some area in our lives that we wish was better today than it was a year ago. And there is something that we wish would be better tomorrow than it is today. And you may be here today and saying, yeah, I'm not quite convinced about this seek God's kingdom above all else stuff and all that. And that's okay, you know. But even if you're skeptical about the kingdom of God stuff, My guess is there's an area in your life that you wish was better. It could be, excuse me, it could be a relationship. It could be something in your job. It could be something in your health. It could be something in your relationship with God. But my guess is there is something somewhere. And again, you may be here and go, yeah, it's not something. It's some things. And matter of fact, it's so many things that I don't even know where to start. This isn't even about where I stand or how connected or disconnected to God I am. This is just about my life. And there's so many areas in my life that I want to be better that I don't even know where to start. No matter whether you're one thing or multiple things, there is something that each and every one of us can do to make things different tomorrow than they are today. It is possible. And here's the deal. It's going to be different, but guess what? It's not going to be. It's not going to be perfect, but it can be better. So maybe the best next step for each and every one of us, no matter where we stand in the whole mix of the kingdom of God thing, is to pick one thing and figure out the small steps that we can make to do consistently over a long period of time that will yield big results of better being better than perfect. Now, let me add another little twist to that pick one thing application. And that is, pick one area of life that needs improvement. And then take the step to say, in that area of life, what might the kingdom of God look like in the here and now in that? Okay? For example, if it's finances, and you say, I need my finances to be better tomorrow than they are today, and so I'm going to pick this area, and then take the next step to figure out what it looks like or what it means to manage finances in the way that God desires for you. And then identify the one step that you can take over a long period of time. And what we will discover, if we are willing to shift this mindset as Jesus has challenged people to shift, not only will we worry less, but overall, life will be better and we will be better at life. So, as we close out our time this morning, this is my prayer for me. And maybe this prayer for me can become your prayer for you and my prayer for you. Dear God, give me the wisdom to seek what you desire above all else. And give me the ability to live righteously as best as I possibly can. And God, give the world around me, give the people around me a better me. And may that start right now. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so what we're going to do is we're going to roll the